also, and of course, we're going to be, we hope, speaking to Zafar Benghazi shortly. We have ugly news from Syria today. Terrorist bombers have attacked several places. This is the ugliest form of murder, which is where you take someone and put bombs on them, and they walk in amongst others, civilians, and kill them. The people who did it, carried it out, are Ahrar al-Sham, and it's a group which the United States has recently decided it likes. I really think it's time that we spoke up to the Canadian government and get a clear condemnation of people pretending to participate in talks and all of that, who carry out these deeds and say that they did it. So I don't understand why we have political parties in Canada all look at their feet when these kind of things happen. But now we are joined by Zafar Benghazi, crescent-online.net. Did I get that right?
Yes, Phil. How are you?
Good. It's great to be talking to you, Zafar. Really, I wanted today to make sure that we call on your expertise. You know the region very well. And actually, only a couple of weeks ago, we spoke of this matter. Increasingly, we are hearing about the Kurdish factor in the struggle between, I would say, the U.S. and its friends against the government of President Assad. And something dramatic happened. A four-star general of the United States Army, and he's in charge, I believe, of Central Command. All these things are big, big titles. Actually landed in Syria and participated for 11 hours in meetings inside Syrian territories. That's sovereign territory. He has no right to be there, but he just took the right as directed by his president. And he met with, they said, Kurdish leaders and people called the Free Syrian Army, I think. Who are these people? Who did he meet with? And what do you think is taking place there?
You're right. The General Joseph Votel, who's the head of Central Command, in fact, recently appointed to that very, very important position, visited the northern parts of Syria where the Kurds reside. And he was incidentally accompanied by journalists from the CNN, Associated Press, etc. And then this issue was also reported by David Ignatius of the Washington Post. Now, General Votel met...
Is that our David Ignatius?
No, it's the reporter for Washington Post. Yeah,
it's not the one who used to be there.
No, Ignatius. Yeah.
Okay.
Not Ignatius. David Ignatius, not...
Yes. Yes,
not
I'm sorry.
Ignatieff, yeah, sorry. the American general met these leaders of Kurdish forces. There is, of course, you know, the political wing of the Kurdish group takes the title Democratic Party or whatever, and or Kurdish Democratic Party, and of course they have a militia as well.
They're called the Peshmerga.
No, over here they're not called the Peshmerga. The Peshmerga are in Iraq.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
okay.
So that's a different group.
Mm-hmm.
What is significant is that General Votel obviously is the highest level American military commander to visit the place. So what this indicates is that, number one, they feel sufficiently confident that that area is secure, that a very, very senior American general, as well as a number of other people, can visit the place with impunity, safe in the sense that there is no threat from either ISIS or other forces to threaten such people. Secondly, they have a lot of confidence in the Kurdish forces, that they have secured the area and that the Americans can rely on them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in one way, if one were to take a sort of simplistic view, This would appear to be a positive development in the sense that these Kurdish forces, of course, are fighting against ISIS fighters. So one would think that that's a positive development. But I think that's essentially a cover for the broader American policy in the region, and that is that, and this has been talked about on a number of occasions by U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry and other people as well, that they would like to partition Syria into numerous enclaves in the same manner as they have partitioned Iraq. And I believe that this visit to the Kurdish region of Syria is part of that same policy to strengthen the hands of the Kurds, to provide them weapons, to provide them military training. True, initially they would probably take on ISIS fighters, but ultimately these Kurdish groups are also interested in creating their own independent state in the north of Syria. We need to keep in mind that a few months ago, these same Kurdish groups had unilaterally declared their zone or their region to be an autonomous region. Mm-hmm. Now, that, of course, is very problematic because when a group unilaterally declares a particular area to be autonomous, that is viewed as a first step along the road to independence.
Yeah, it's a hostile act.
Exactly. And, of course, these Kurdish groups from Syria are now also demanding that they be given a place at the negotiating table in peace talks in Geneva. Personally, I think that's not a bad idea. I think they should be included in the negotiations.
Isn't it something that Russia proposed that, and it was turned down?
Yes, Russia had proposed.
When they did propose it, did they specify who would that be? You know, in other words, because as you've pointed out, I mean, there are Kurds and Kurds in a sense, but I suppose so. They specifically it would be this region of Syria. I mean, this particular group.
That is correct. Yes,
to be at the talks.
Exactly, and their leader, of course, is Saleh Muslim, who, when the talks first started in Geneva, he was present there, and he was hoping that he would be invited to participate. But at that time, Turkey took a very, very strong stand against their participation. You see, the Turks are opposed to the Kurds because there is a very large Kurdish population inside Turkey. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, successive Turkish governments have not been very fair to the Kurdish people. They have even an agreement that was signed by the current president, who was at that time the prime minister of Turkey, Recep Tayyip Erdogan. He had signed an agreement in 2012 with the Kurds in Turkey, and this brought to an end about 40 years of conflict. But then last year, Erdogan actually tore that agreement, the one that he himself had negotiated and signed.
He tore it up?
Absolutely, and sort of launched military operations against the Kurds. So the fear that the Turks have is that if the Kurds in Syria were to organize and acquire some measure of political clout, that these Kurds would then perhaps link up with the Kurds in Turkey, and that would naturally pose a serious threat to Turkey. But the problem in this whole situation is that Turkey is also unfortunately playing a very dirty game, in the sense that while Turkey does not want the Kurds in Syria to gain any strength or power, Turkey is quite happy to send weapons and mercenaries into Syria to support these ISIS terrorists. So there's a very, really, I must say, it's a very dirty game that is being played, and particularly played by Turkey, because Turkey, for some reason, suffers from this illusion that perhaps it can become the strong man of the region, and if the government of President Bashar al-Assad is overthrown, that Turkey can install a puppet in Damascus that would do its bidding.
So, yeah, and didn't Erdogan say that he was going to be in Damascus soon, a couple of years back?
Yes, of course, of course. He had when the war on Syria started, he actually said that within a few months we are going to have our celebrations in Damascus, and I'm going to have tea there, et cetera, et cetera. So
we have to remember those things because that's still his goal.
Absolutely, unfortunately. And the other worrying thing is that through Turkey, the ISIS terrorist groups have been provided surface-to-air missiles. That's another very problematic development because they have been able to shoot down a number of Syrian planes, and so the advantage that the Syrian government forces had in terms of their military operations has been somewhat neutralized, because on the ground, the Syrian army is virtually exhausted. They've been fighting for more than 5 years, although they have their allies that support them. Both Syrian militias as well as Hezbollah fighters and advisors from Iran's Revolutionary Guards. But unless and until they have superiority in the air, then on the ground, the two sides, that means the ISIS terrorists as well as the Syrian army forces and their allies, are virtually equal in terms of their fighting ability. So if the Syrian Air Force cannot soften up various positions before the Syrian army can attack them, and then even if those positions are taken by the Syrian army and they cannot hold them because the ISIS terrorists can regroup and relaunch their attacks, as they have done in recent weeks, they have recaptured certain areas, some villages around Aleppo as well as Palmyra, that then this war will continue virtually indefinitely.
Well, that's Turkey and U.S. basically are doing this, right? I mean, this is the dirtiness you speak of. On the one hand, they claim they want to see an end, but they don't.
No,
they want to bleed. They want to bleed Syria.
That is correct, exactly. And of course, the other party in this is Saudi Arabia, another dirty player that have caused immense damage
that's
in that
Canada,
region.
Canada's intimate friend and trustworthy ally, and we have no problem giving them deadly things as they're killing Yemenis.
Yes.
No one even notices.
Exactly. In fact, Canada is...
It's offensive to raise the idea.
Yes. Canada has signed an agreement to supply them $15 billion worth of weapons, light armored vehicles, as they are called. These vehicles have already been used against the people of Bahrain against the terms of the contract, because the agreement that Canada has signed specifically calls for these weapons being used in a defensive capacity, not in offensive capacity. So, number one, the Saudi regime has used these light armored vehicles against the people of Bahrain to crush their uprising. Number two, the Saudi regime has also used these weapons against the Shia population in eastern Saudi Arabia. So on both counts, the Saudis are guilty of violating the terms of that agreement, and yet regrettably, the Canadian government has not taken any strong position against that. And instead, they continue to go along with the fact that they say, well, we have an agreement with them. They have given us assurances that they are not going to abuse these weapons. But we have the proof that they have abused these weapons, that they have violated the terms of that agreement. So surely that should be adequate to for Canada to cancel this deal altogether. But unfortunately, it is not happening.
No, and in further unfortunateness, we don't have any opposition that cares.
Yes, exactly. Like, you know, one of the arguments that the Canadian government, the present government, has used is that, well, if we don't supply them, others would, and there are going to be repercussions. You know, Germany.
But by the way, since when does that immoral make any sense? Yeah, because, of course, you say, well, if settlers do, that's their crime, but we're not going to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
My goodness.
In fact, Sweden has announced that they've terminated all military contracts with Saudi Arabia. Germany has announced that they're not going to sell any weapons to Saudi Arabia because of the atrocious human rights record of the Saudi regime. They have not suffered any negative consequences. But unfortunately, even our new government, the Sunny Ways government, the liberal government, still continues with the old policy that the conservatives had agreed. And, you know, these terrible things are happening here.
Yeah. And again, this is Zafar Bengash, crescent-online.net, a terrific site. And we're, of course, talking about this new situation with the U.S. four-star general and et cetera. And there's been another visit, by the way, to the region I was struck by, a man that we should all be aware of, Bernard-Henri Lévy. He goes to Cannes, and he wins a prize for a film he made about the Kurds of Iraq, has his picture taken at Cannes and all that. Every time I see Bernard-Henri Lévy, bad things happen.
Absolutely. That man
he went after Libya, went after Syria. And,
exactly. That man is absolute disaster wherever he goes. And unfortunately, I need to point out that he and his ilk, like as you pointed out in Libya, he was the one that basically pushed the Sarkozy government to launch that vicious attack against the government of President Gaddafi. And today, Libya is in absolute chaos. I mean, there is just absolutely no peace and security in that country. There is total mayhem. There are tribes fighting each other. I mean, you know, now, unfortunately, Libya is not even mentioned in the mainstream media or by the Western government that were involved in preparing the grounds for the lynching of Gaddafi. Similarly, one of the most unfortunate things with respect to the Kurds is that they have deep relations with the Zionist regime in occupied Palestine. Now, obviously, that's a very, very troubling development. Although the Zionists have been involved with the Kurdish affairs for a very long time, it's not just today. The Zionists have been involved for decades. In fact, the Kurds in Iraq had close links with the Israeli, successive Israeli regimes. The Israelis have been providing them training, weapons, propaganda, etc. In fact, even publishing books in their language and supplying them those. So a lot of very, very serious and troubling developments are taking place. And Lévy's, you know, award that he got. I don't know why he got it, but anyway.
You know, by the way, it shows you, doesn't it, I mean, how rulers can have things done that they want done. He said that he didn't even enter the film. He made the film together with the Kurds, he calls the Peshmerga, and it's called the Red Carpet Salute at Cannes. And he said that Cannes asked him, he has this coy way. He said, they asked me to bring the film.
Really?
And then he gets the red carpet, gets an award, and you say, oh, yes, Mr. Lévy, he's going to bring peace and security to the region. Everywhere he goes, as you say, he's a disaster.
Absolutely.
For the people. I mean, I guess it's wonderful for France, wonderful for Britain, wonderful for Erdogan. I don't know.
But unfortunately for the people of the region, he is an absolute disaster. And, you know, the other aspect is that these people can go around violating, you know, the sovereignty of other countries.
Yes, by the way, Abedi was not invited by the government of Baghdad.
No, of course not.
And he was illegally there, actually.
Yes, absolutely. Like you know, the American general who was in northern Syria, I mean, obviously, he didn't take a visa from the Syrian government, nor did the journalists that went there. They all went there illegally. They just landed at a...
This is what empires do.
Yes, unfortunately.
Yeah. When they wish, they do this. Zafar, I want to ask you about these deadlines. I heard or read somewhere that the Russians have said to the Turks, as of a certain date, we're no longer going to... let you move your vehicles in and out of, I guess, parts of Syria. They're going to, and a second date, of course, that we've heard about is from the United States, saying that August the 1st, Assad must go. Are you following these things, or do you have any opinion about what's going on there?
Well, I've read about the Russian thing. I'm not so sure about this deadline that the Americans have laid down. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to keep in mind that the Russians have been for a very long time insisting that unless and until the Turkish border with Syria is closed, that it would be virtually impossible to eliminate the ISIS terrorist threat. Mm-hmm. And now that we know that the ISIS terrorists have even been given surface-to-air missiles, that escalates the level of threat even further. Mm-hmm. I hope and pray that the Russians would carry out on their threat, and that if the Turks refuse to abide by the terms of international law and not violating Syrian sovereignty and territorial integrity, that I hope that the Russians would take steps.
And shouldn't we underline, by the way, that when you say sovereignty, they have a right under international law to have Russians there, Hezbollah there. That's their legal. That is their prerogative,
yes.
And anybody else there is actually there illegally. And if they suffer consequences, that's too bad for them.
Correct, because you see, Russia, Hezbollah, any other groups, or Iran's Revolutionary Guards have been invited to Syria by a legitimately established government, mm-hmm. and they are there perfectly legally. Unfortunately, the Turks, the Saudis, and all these mercenaries, or even American special forces that have been deployed in Syria, they are there illegally because the Syrian government has not given its okay or authorization for their presence, nor for the arrival of an American general. He may be a very senior general, but that does not give him the legitimacy or the right to enter another country. Just as, John McCain had entered Syria illegally in May of 2013.
Yes.
And he actually went and met the leader of these terrorist groups, the ISIS groups, al-Baghdadi, inside Syria. There are photographs available provided by McCain's office himself.
Yes.
Of course, inadvertently, they made a mistake, but at least that proof they themselves provided.
Yes. Zafar Bengash, crescent-international.net. Online, pardon me, crescent-online.net. Did I get it right?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. Thank you very, very much.
It's my great pleasure, Phil. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. And that was Zafar Bengash, and you've been listening to The Taylor Report, CIT 89.5 FM. Hani, thank you very much. We will see you next week.
No other genre of music has had such a...